Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy, or are you gonna bite?
Yeah, yeah.
There are several sacred things in this world that you don't ever mess with. One of them happens to be another man's fries. Now you remember that, and you'll live a long and healthy life.
Just us, the cameras, and those wonderful people out there in the dark.
Science fiction, the wave of the future.
I wonder where a guy, an everyday Joe like myself, could find a little action.
Bye.
Yeah.
I only like these headphones if they're laced with gold. You know, it's the only headphones I use.
Shit's about to go uranium.
Shit's about to go platinum and uranium, gamma infused. So listen, every now and then, you gotta take a little stroll to the year 1997. Sometimes that means trying to remember what you watched in 1997. Sometimes that just means visiting a gem that maybe you never even knew was a gem. Maybe you never knew it really had all the wonders and treasures of the world to reveal to you until you went to the Amazon River or somewhere in Brazil, and then you came across a boat full of idiots and some oversized snakes. And then sometimes you wonder what you're doing with the rest of your life.
Sometimes you gotta wonder how they even made sequels to this thing.
Sequels. Lots of sequels. And
About four?
It made enough money to get sequels?
Four.
Oh, we're gonna get into it. We're gonna get into it. Don't you worry.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Y'all
We're talking about Showgirls, folks. That's right. Showgirls.
I wanted a sequel of that.
AKA Saved by the Bell, the post college years.
Yeah. Saved by the Bell, OnlyFans edition.
No, I'm kidding. We're talking about Nicki Minaj. We're talking about.
It did have a song.
It did have a song. I told you.
It was. That didn't even fit that. Anyway.
Okay. All right. No, I'm just kidding. Welcome to Comic Con's podcast, a geek podcast for the rest of us. But who are the motherfucking rest of us? My name is Nick Stevens, and I am your host. But in a way, aren't we all chasing after big, long, black snakes? Joining me on the podcast tonight, James the Winter Shuler.
I'm not trying to brag, but
Mister,
I was kind of born.
You found him.
I was kind of born with
it. You found him, folks. The Winter Shuler and Mister Petty. Thank you, gentlemen.
What up?
Returning guests and returning friends alike. Before we get into the nitty gritty titty, I just got to give a shout out to my man, Mr. Petty, over here for just tagging me and some of the kamikazes in his new attire here.
Yeah, and I'm wearing it right now. I'm
repping
it live. I had to. Like, I got to get the shirt on time so I can wear it on the show. That's an audio podcast. But just so the listeners know, I am wearing my friend's merch. That's how you support your friends. Like,
that's how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Link in the description.
Link in the bio.
Yeah, link in the bio. Hit us up in the DM. Slide on in. Emails to comicgodspodcast@gmail.com or on the Instagrams or the X, the brand X. Okay? No, but seriously, I'm just flabbergasted. I am flattered. I'm floored. You know what I'm saying? Thank you so much. Seriously.
Hey, no problem.
And honestly, thanks for being here.
It's one of those things. It's like I do this so well. I do it so – it's like, what is it? Like I do things so well that it looks and feels easy because of my years of doing it. So it's like for me, it's like, oh, okay, I just whip this up, film something, add a Dutch angle, cool, zoom in, green screen, add this, boom, all right, crop out the background from this one, cool, cut out the layers, all right, cool, throw two layers, add music, and I'm done. And you're like, whoa! I was like, I mean, okay.
Dude, like, took me 13 minutes.
He was, dude. He was definitely downplaying it. Dude, I was like, bruh, and he was like, it only took me a few minutes. Seriously, it's not a big deal.
It's really not that big of a fucking deal.
But see, I'm so old school. Like, I don't feel old. I feel young. I always feel young.
That's dangerous.
But 41, I know I'm old because I'd be like, hold on, the YouTubes? You want more content on the YouTubes? Oh, I don't know about that. You know, it might set me back a couple years.
You're like, oh, shit. You're like, when do I need to upload some shit onto MySpace?
Old bug. I don't look my age. I think I'm probably older than you, Nick, because I'm 42 now. So it's like.
God damn.
Yeah, so it's like, black don't crack, so I fool other black people. I fool other black people. That's how well my blackness cracks.
I'm sitting on 40, and I'm like, nah, he around my age. Got to be.
Yeah, from our conversation, you know I'm old, but you look at me, you're like, he's got to be like, what, 35? 36, maybe? Like, nah. But no,
young blood.
One of my coworkers asked me about my dreads, and he's like, how long have you been growing your hair? And I told him, like, I haven't had a haircut since 1999.
And just, hold up.
Right, he's just doing a little. He's just looking.
That math did math for him.
It didn't. Like, it didn't.
Oh, fuck up.
He's like, yo, your dreads are older than me. I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, you shut the fuck up.
Well, I get fucked up because people will reference the 90s. I've worked with people at different moon bases and different halls of justices where people have just dropped, like, what are you talking about, Spider-Man? Like the Amazing Spider-Man? Dude, that shit came out when I was fucking in elementary school. And I was like, wait a minute. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah, with Mark Webb and Gwen Stacy, right? Yeah, that was my childhood. Nigga.
Right.
Yeah, they're like, no, Andrew Garfield. He was like, the fuck?
Yeah,
OG Spider-Man.
When like late 90s, early 2000s is someone's like childhood. And I'm like, oh, it has been 20 some odd years. And you're talking to a 20 something year old dude. And you're like, oh, it tracks, but... For us, it's like, for in our age group, it's like, oh no, we were like high school, week. College, like,
yeah,
like, yeah, the kickball Spider-Man,
right?
he should have been sponsored by Spalding. That's how whack that costume was.
God damn it!
That's what we're talking about.
Fighting giant lizards.
Yes.
Nice segue.
Great segue. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you guys remember where you were when this movie came out. I distinctly remember where I was when this movie came out. I was actually working at the movie theater, the Multiplex 4. We only got the B movies. We got the Bride of Chucky's. We got the fucking... actually, we had some indies, too. We got, like, SLC Punk and some cool shit like that. But we also got...
Regal?
We were... Yeah, it was the mall Regal. It was the Spotsylvania Town
Holy
Center
shit.
Regal.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. I remember that.
Yeah, and it only had 4 theaters, and it would get these gems every now and then. And it got Anaconda. We got Anaconda. And this movie did gangbusters. This movie did so much business, and we weren't ready for it. There was just one guy behind a concession stand, like, trying to hold everybody back, like Chris Farley and fucking Airheads. And you're fucking...
more like Chris Pratt in a Jurassic Park, just doing the whole arm thing. Like,
hold it. Come on.
Like, I only got so many juju beans.
Dude, it was like it was a hit, and I was like, what are people so invested? And I saw it, and I remember watching it at the age of like 16, 17, whatever, and I was like, holy shit, this movie's horribly, badly awesome.
It had a star-studded cast.
Yo. Right.
Awesomely bad.
Like, for me, it was also in the same time period, and like this is my mind blending everything at the same time. Like, I know Deep Blue Sea came out like a few years after, but it was also caught up in that whole like late Placid.
Boom.
What was that one with the spiders? Not Arachne. Not
Arachnophobia.
Eight legged freaks.
Yeah, that one. That was a whole time period where they just like, we need a movie monster, but we're tired of like Godzilla and Frankenstein, and yeah, let's just take something normal and then just like multiply the size. Like, it's the Jaws mentality, but like times like whatever. And it's like, okay, more, cool.
Yeah, something more relatable, but on land.
I'm so glad you said that, Mr. Petty, because that late 90s, you're right. It was a weird time. There was like it was kind of like right before mid to late 90s, right before we got the Matrix movies. It was like, they were making these like, well, there's a crocodile in a lake. It's oversized, where there's oversized snakes, and it was before snakes on a plane too, ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Those snakes on the plane weren't oversized. It was just a lot.
There was just a lot of snakes.
There was just snakes on a plane.
Just reggae snakes. Just reggae
right,
snakes.
Right. It wasn't the anaconda the size of the cockpit. No. Like...
So did you guys actually see this? Any of you see this in theaters when it came out? Like me or no?
No. No, no, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't see it in theaters. I was one of the few of the '90s. I was blessed with a black box. If you don't familiar with that, that's the chip in a cable box that's able to descramble paper.
So that was
hold on, hold on.
That was really a ninja thing.
Hold on,
we all had them.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Oh, I see what you're saying.
We're about to clue Nick in real quick. All right, Nick. What do you mean,
ninja thing?
Okay. We're about to bring you into a little bit of Black Council.
It's a family show.
It was a family. That's how
I was able to, when we were talking about Evander Holyfield. I watched that fight live. For free, a couple of clicks in the back of the cable box, and I de-scrambled the signal, and I'm watching Mike Tyson gnaw on his ear.
Wow!
So, wrestling pay-per-views,
wrestling,
UFC,
super
fights.
We weren't stuck with the blurry channel on the Playboy.
I was about to ask.
My dad would monitor, though. My dad was a stay-at-home dad during that time because he had retired early. So in most of my high school and formative years of that nature, he was on it. And the cable box was downstairs in the family room. So there was no way.
I could not.
My early days of the only challenge I could watch the Spice Channel was before, during a time where it was scrambled, so you didn't have to monitor as much because there was nothing to monitor because it was a scramble where the nipple would be like wavy. that was only
when it was really bright you could get everything.
The kids don't understand. The kids today don't understand. We had to work for that nipple. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Every black family I knew had one of those boxes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
we all had them.
We were one of the few in the neighborhood, so they would either come to our house, or we would take the box and take it to their house, and then
we'd charge them.
We didn't charge people. What we did, though, is it was definitely BYOB or BYOF because my dad didn't drink, so it was bring your own food. Like we're not hosting a party; we're just hosting the pay per view. Mm. Like if you want to come through and you bring chips, snacks, wings, pizza, do whatever you bring your stuff. And so that way it's a community thing. So that was our little thing. So for me, it was like, all right, you watch the fight, I get a free dinner.
That's what's up. Man, you guys just blew my mind with that shit right now.
We all had a cousin who get us one.
I didn't know about any kind of pirating until fucking Napster graced me in that dorm room. I didn't know about any kind of fucking...
I mean that because the Black Box had my fair share of watching like a lot of low budget films, which also brought my love of like Cynthia Rothrock, Dragon Wilson, Billy Blanks before he started selling out and doing Tybo.
Billy Blanks, baby. Yeah,
Ed Norton,
Tybo Ho,
the British guy, not the Fight Club guy. No, but back to Anaconda. That was actually I was never going to see that in the theater. Because I was a kid, I barely had disposable income, so I wasn't going to go to theater for that. My dad was not going to take me to see that. But the moment they, Blockbuster, the way then things went, it was like a movie theater, and it'd be like 6 months.
Right.
Yep.
And then after the 6 months, then it's going to show up on VHS.
Blockbuster, baby.
Yeah, so Blockbuster would get it first. Then within a few weeks after Blockbuster gets it, because you got to get the new release and everything, then we would get it.
It would not go to HBO or Showtime or something like that.
No. It'd be pay-per-view first, then HBO.
Okay.
So it's that's the way it went. So by the time it hits home, when it's in Blockbuster or VHS, that's when we'll probably get it on pay-per-view because pay-per-view is essentially like you're renting the movie because you would pay for that particular time slot. Like, all right, sometimes they would do like you get a weekend special where you pay for the price of one time slot and you get the whole weekend, stuff like that.
Right. It was like the precursor of the VOD, like the video on demand.
Right. And all that. So that was my introduction to Anaconda, was watching it. As soon as it hit home after 6 months of being in the theater and it hit home, then I would watch like all the movies like that. And that was me watching Anaconda.
You know, it's funny, man. Like, I don't think I would have seen half the movies I did through high school if I didn't have that job at the movie theater, because it was like it was a blessing and a curse. A curse only in the sense that, all your friends are trying to come over all the time and get in free and shit. But a blessing in some ways that you could hook people up like that every now and then see a movie at the end of the night. Like, oh, they just because this is back in the day when films were actually like on film and like not on digital. Film.
Yeah.
So they'd come in these cans, they show up at the movie theater and you got to put them together and you're in the projection booth and your manager goes, you want to stick around and check out Atacana? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Wait. So you mean to tell me your manager
mm-hmm.
has you in a dark room and he says you want to see Anaconda and you was like, yeah.
Well, she was very nice. She was very nice.
Oh. So she wanted to see Anaconda.
Oh, she wanted to see Anaconda. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Hey.
Hey, you know. Hey, hey.
You know what I say? You know what I say? Now we on 36A. That's the Spice Channel. My man was
That's
like,
what Whoa. You did. That's what you did.
You
want to
see
know?
Anaconda? I want to see Anaconda.
Now, was there so just clueless. A dude in the background with a guitar and a wah pedal?
You wish. And then flames. Just flames.
Hey, look. I ain't going to hold you. Them dudes, when they did the soundtrack to porn back then, put their whole fucking foot in
their whole. They did. These niggas was Phil Collins in this bitch.
Right. They were fucking. They were probably grinding on while playing the bass guitar, like in the booth, just like, oh yeah, oh yeah.
You got those Eric Clapton licks on some of those softcores too, like you know.
Yeah. Right. Well, they were doing that. They do that shit like orchestras do it. So they were watching the movie while they were composing.
Right. So Bootsy Collins is in the booth just with a small TV, probably like a 20-inch, probably like a 17, like a 17 to 20-inch TV, just like tube TV, just this one that is like probably licking his lips while playing the bass.
Yeah.
Anyway,
always.
But you want to talk about
that's when you know he getting into it.
But you want to talk about a blessing? You want to talk about a blessing in that movie? This particular scene is what brought this whole conversation for because I remember last time on the show I mentioned mm-hmm. the scene.
Yes, you did.
Yes, because shout out to you in the background because this is prime Jennifer Lopez. This was early. I don't know how
Fly Girl.
Post Fly Girl.
Pre Jenny on the Block. So what even J Lo? It was just she was still Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez. Yeah.
Is this her first? Is this her first like movie? Like her first big?
No. She already had Money Train. She already had what else was counted? She had some hits before this.
Okay.
So she was a serious. She was a serious contender for that. You know, like I said, this whole cast ain't nothing but A-listers. And not just like. Right, these aren't like, man, I need to pay off my taxes. I got some debts to pay off. A-listers who just say yes to anything. Like these were like, hey, you know, this is probably a good idea. I don't put all my effort into this. These were top tier A-listers.
Even Danny Trejo showed up for a good time.
Man, look, but this is pre
young Danny.
Yeah, no machete. This is no machete. He had no mustache. He just had a little bit of peach fuzz. Danny Trejo. But yeah, there was the J-Lo scene. It was a split second too. It wasn't even like that.
Oh, long. It's so quick, dude.
It was so quick, but
worth a pause. Some, definitely worth a pause.
She the random white guy who looks like Ricky the Never Gonna Give You Up guy.
Eric Stoltz, okay. Stoltz.
No. That man's Rick Ashley.
He was supposed to be. He was supposed to be Marty McFly. Okay.
Nah, not his fault. He's never gonna give you up. He's never gonna let you down. He did not because he survived. But no, he that man. Knocked on the door, and J-Lo in her nightgown, white gown, she turned around, and for a split second, that gown was, like, wedged.
It was wedged.
It just sunk in, and it was
knew what she knew what the fuck she was doing.
Of course she did. She had that thing. Man. The Golden Globes were globing. Like, J-Lo was just all that. That was before she even got her butt insured. That's when put her butt on the map.
See, she was trying to go for that Tina Turner. She was like, yeah, no. This right here, this is my bread and butter.
Right.
Butt her.
Right. Where's Bootsy Collins? That bass line when she got up. Like, doom, 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 doom. And then that's it. Like, you don't even need that much. You just need
to
go.
She got the Hollywood Hogan theme following her.
Right. Well, I
get that reference.
Man, that scene, like I said, I remember that was when I first realized I had slow motion on my VCR. Yes, I said VCR because I did record this movie. Yes.
And this worked its way into our last combo when we were talking about Blade of all things. And mm-hmm. Mr. Petty specifically said, look, if you guys end up doing Anaconda, I have to be there.
I will break down scene by scene analysis, frame by frame. You can tell by like her like the director had it at a mid-high level so that it could take everything from her face as she's looking on the laptop and computer, so it was highlighted well enough that she, when she stood up and turned around, and even for a split second, because she was not wearing panties, you know that. It just sank right in. They just blended. They just seamlessly just fell. And then she had to cover it up and put her jacket on because it's cold. Apparently,
it's so cold.
Right. Apparently, she was warm when she was sitting there, but the moment she got up, it got cold.
Mm-hmm. Cold had, Amazon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, they and can't the, give the, them away.
In the heart of the jungle, it was cold. That's why she had to put the put a little sweater on.
So, if we had to just take a quick pause here, because we want to make sure the Comic-Consies are like well invested in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
If the Comic-Cons creeper just showed up out of nowhere and was like, "Oh, Mr. Petty, I heard you watched Anaconda. What's it about?" You know, and you had to like break it down for this fucking creature. This creature visits you in the middle of the night, scares the shit out of you, but you don't question anything. You just say, "Okay, you want to know about Anaconda? How would you break it?"
I would literally probably spend a good, this is like I did like 5-10 minutes on a 3-second scene of Jennifer Lopez's butt, and the fact that in this movie she wore cargo pants, she was wearing like a crop top, a tattered shirt, and it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
All right, the
didn't care about leeches or nothing.
No leeches.
That was coming. You know, that Latin explosion was exploding. Like it was just there was nothing contained in it. Like I said, this is, y'all gotta understand, y'all, it's like, if you look back now, like, in a perspective of what we were going through, like, in that time frame, and as we look back at it now, it's like, there was a lot that went into a scene that you don't realize, and then what I mean by scene is, like, the culture of the time. Hollywood and like, Jennifer Lopez was one of the pioneers of bringing more curvy into the more mainstream aestheticness of beauty.
There were no Kardashians.
Mm-hmm. It was all skinny, rarely miserable,
flat back,
girl interrupted. Right.
My types.
I remember there was a this is slightly off topic, but not. But I remember
we can't get past this.
It was like, it was a movie in the '90s, Bridget Jones' Diary. Starring Renee Zellweger. And the whole time they're like kind of like this running joke or ragging on her being like quote unquote big.
Bubble butt.
Like she's like fat or something, right? Realistically, she's not average, but I mean, you know what I mean. But she's you look at her, you're like, fat where? Like,
right. She wasn't even a pog.
Right.
Do you remember back in the day where they considered Delta Burke fat?
Yeah, and she would be like just
she's
thick,
normal.
Yeah, she's just thick. She's
you're right.
Average nowadays.
You're right. She was. Yeah, you're right. There was all kinds of commentary on that.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you gotta understand, like the culture of like
everybody had to be thin.
Right. Like Kate Moss was like the standard of beauty, and she could like fall through cracks. Ugh. You know what I mean? You know, she turned sideways. She just I'm not body shaming. I'm just saying the truth. Like she turned sideways. She, the heroin chic was the look that people were going for.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. We have two camps.
Let me at him.
Oh, so you're saying it's about junk in the trunk?
Where do you think the anacondas came from? Nah, but
oh shit.
And Ice Cube was there.
Yeah, Ice Cube is having a good old time in this movie. I'm sorry. Is that his own music he's listening to at one point in the scene? Okay, just want to make
it
sure.
It was actually West Side Connection, which is him, Mac 10. Is him, Dub C, Mac 10. Yeah.
I recognized his voice, and I was like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. I respect
Ice. Which is ironic, because it's like, why is a cameraman listening to his own music? Like, how narcissistic are you?
But
like,
also, as a musician, Schuller will back me up on this. Sometimes you just want to fucking discreetly play your shit while other people, for strangers,
are golfing.
I've done that so much. Like, man, yeah, just
who's that? We're gonna move on. Let's break down the cast, though.
Break it down.
Let's break down the cast.
Hold on. Before you break it down, let me drop that that Street Fighter music in here. Boop. All right, now hit it.
So we got John Voight, first of all, playing. I don't know,
motherfucker.
Set on.
Right. Okay, so my opinion about John Voight in this movie, I think he just came on the set and it's like, you know what, my character needs an accent. And then he just didn't tell anybody, he just went along with it and just made this accent up of some unknown country. Like, dude, John Voight is white as white.
He's so white and I can't tell if he's trying to just go for like a Dominican or like a Cuban thing. He's like, my name's Saran and I gotta find the anaconda, huh? But he does this snarl, and it's like he's committed to it. You're absolutely right. It's out of nowhere. But I love it. I love it.
Like, it's undistinct. It's just like he's trying to act like he's a local in this, like, South American. But it's like he's not even Portuguese. It's not a Portuguese accent. It's not Brazilian. It's just white and weird.
He's so good at it, though. He's so over the top. He's probably the MVP of this whole cast for me in terms of his performance. I swear to God.
He was my favorite.
We also had a young Owen Wilson.
Young Owen Wilson. Yes.
Like I'm trying to remember where he was, where the Wilsons were at this point, because I don't, you know, because like I think, because truth be told, like the Wilsons weren't like, I want to say this is the start of the Wilson epidemic,
probably post Bottle Rocket, so it's like big early Wes Anderson, but not quite Royal Tenenbaums yet.
Before High Noon.
And before Zoolander, right? Before Zoolander?
That's way before Zoolander.
Okay.
Not way before.
No, it is. It is. Zoolander is at least 2000.
Zoolander was early, like, it was probably like 2001-ish.
Yeah. Right, it's early Owen, and he can tell he's just, they say, hey, we need a young, blonde, white guy. He's like, wow.
2001. Zoolander 1.
Wow.
Yeah, Zoolander 1 was 2001.
I thought I saw that shit in high school. Oh, well. But yeah, keep going.
So then, like you said, he had a young Owen Wilson. This is before, like, he had to lean into his shtick. So this is before he... I don't even know. Was this Rounders? It's definitely, like, around the Rounders era.
He's playing it pretty straight, though. I see what you're saying.
Did he do I Spy yet with Eddie Murphy?
I think that was Luke. Wasn't that Luke Wilson?
No, that was Owen.
No, you're right. It was Owen Wilson. And I can't remember. I think that was also early 2000s.
That movie was, and I rewatched and I can't remember if his nose was broken. No, like Luke Wilson's the one with the broken nose, right?
No, Owen has the broken one.
He's got a broken one. Okay. But it, you're right, it didn't look as broken in this.
Right. But it's a young Owen Wilson, and your man, like you said, I say Rick Ashley, you say he's Eric Stoltz. I'm like, all right, cool. Eric Stoltz was the pre Marty McFly, but he got fired. I've been down that rabbit hole before.
That's what they said in the Flash movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. And you got Ice Cube.
And Ice Cube is just playing Ice Cube.
He really is.
Did anyone even say his character's name in the whole thing?
Danny Rich.
I know his character has a name.
I don't think they.
No, they. J-Lo would call it out for him a couple times, like Danny. No, Danny. Because he like. He kept falling down a lot. He fell down a lot in this movie. Mm-hmm.
He is a very clumsy black man. we don't trip that much.
And then Jonathan Hyde, the British guy who played
Rich's butler.
Mm-hmm. Right. Warren. Mm-hmm. Right. No,
did you just say Richie Rich's
butler?
You're goddamn right. Yes, I did. I fucking love that movie.
I get that. That was a good movie.
It's a great movie.
And I'm trying to remember who played. But there was a character in this movie. I can't remember the guys who played him, but I remember the character's name because I watched this character like
Mateo.
Yeah,
play Mateo.
Yeah. Who?
I thought that was Dan Cortez from fucking MTV.
Man, look, man, that dude. Like, it's between him and John Voight's character that was just like, are they lovers? Like, is there some secret bond? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when they made this movie, it was so predictable. It was so 90s predictable where you're just looking at him like, okay. Like, this is before, like, they discovered things like, I don't know, nuance or anything like that. It's just more like the smack in the face that you don't like this guy. Like, and then him and Mateo just kept, like, exchanging looks like, hey, so when we gonna do it? I don't know. Like, not yet. Soon, not yet.
There's a lot going on with this cast. It's like, I know that apparently we are supposed to believe that J-Lo's character is on the pursuit. Well, like, I guess along with the doctor, the Eric Stoltz, Rick Ashley. Mm-hmm. They're looking for some tribe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to be like, that's the exposition. That's why they're fucking there.
That's their... What is it? The Maltese Falcon of the story.
Right, but the only thing is, like, at any point in time, and I know like nobody has a cell phone really, but they have like walkie talkies. They have like a radio on the boat. Like at no point in time when anything starts to hit the fan, do they
everybody
try to
get
like
the fuck back on the boat?
Okay, look.
Aboard mission.
Where they were at. Okay, you've seen where they're at. You've watched the movie. Does it
yes,
look like
yes.
they got, does it look like there's telephone signals in their area?
No, I'm just saying, but they had like radios. You're right. And I said that, but I'm just saying they had like radios.
In order for those radios to work, someone has to be on the other side.
True.
Yeah, on the boat.
No.
But no, I mean, but like
no one stayed with the boat.
So there's no. So the entire river.
The danger was on the boat too. Mm-hmm. Like that. No. Okay. So let me clarify. Let me ask for clarification. Are you saying they should radio help from people from the boat or where they're at to the land, or in general? Because like they couldn't just dial 911.
No. I'm not saying they would have been able to call for help.
Call
but, like,
animal control.
But even the one, even our boy Danny Trejo was out there, right? And he was calling. He was hitting the thing. He was hitting the bus.
And then where did that message go?
I'm just saying, maybe.
Where
by
did
the
that
time
message go?
Okay,
who's on the other side?
Nowhere. He's got
who went, who went? Hey, there's a message from someone who needs help, and something like no.
But after the after the first person died, or not died, he got sorry. Eric Stoltz got a little poisonous wasp somehow put into his breathing apparatus.
Oh shit!
Like, how do you sneak a wasp? It's like. You'd be like, ain't nobody gonna see this.
I'm just saying from the first sign of I'm only saying from the first sign of trouble, these movies always kind of get me a little bit because I'm like, for the first sign of trouble, and me and Schiller talk about this all the time, I'm going the other way.
So the first sign of trouble was John Boyd.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. If I'm on the boat and I hear people screaming and shit,
right,
I'm throwing that bitch in drive and I'm gone.
Throwing it in reverse, basically.
Well, there's always that one excuse that they always say when something like that happens. We're too far gone. We gotta, you know, turn back. Like, let's say they're like 3/4 traveling, and it's like they only got enough gas to still make it to where they're going to go.
Right.
So if they travel back, they might run out of gas. Especially since if I recall, there was a scene.
It's
where,
called the PNR.
Right.
John Boyd, no return.
Yeah, John Boyd's character blew up some bridge that happened to like mess up everything on the boat. Like they lost like oil, they lost fuel.
He sabotaged all their like gasoline supplies. And,
right.
Yeah, so they were dead in the water.
Right. This is such an intricate plan of just it was such an intricate plan of things that just sort of happened. Like realistically, there's no way he knew like, oh man, at this time some unsuspecting crew is gonna drive by. I'm gonna hop on their boat, I'm gonna fake like I'm a priest, first of all.
He did. He had a whole motive.
He had a whole backstory, but didn't finish the details.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, and that was a priest.
And nobody cared. All they cared about was finding the tribe, and he's like, I can take you there. I can take her to the tribe.
Right.
And like, I'm sorry, you take me to, I'll take her to the tribe. I'm sorry, we still can't.
Take her to the tribe.
It was a scene where he was like
are you putting in a fucking Mexican order? Like, what are you doing?
I'll tip her the taco.
So he's all like, I'm going to be like Gomez Adams, and then like, I'm gonna take it up to the extra knot.
That's probably the better question then. My bad. That's probably the better question then. Like, would you, because you're right. A, they're past the point of no return. B, they don't have signal with their walkies or radio, whatever the fuck they had. Really, what it boils down to is, would any of you pick up this sketchy looking fucking dude in the ponytail? Would you pick up John Voight, a sweaty John Voight with a ponytail and a funny accent in the middle of
nowhere? Hell no.
All right.
Hell no.
So what I would do if I did pick someone up that had to be stranded is I would find the nearest place. Hey, look, that place looks dry over there. There's a big land right there. That's where you're gonna go. We'll go this way. You go that way.
Right.
Like
right.
That's I would do my best to get rid of him, but I would not like take him with me and or trust his word. Like, oh, he knows where these people are. He speaks the language. Of course he does. You said something in that native language. Of course, you know what that means. Like that'd be like someone like, hey man, I heard about the legend on Snake Road, blah blah blah. I'd be like, oh, Snake Road? That's, you mean Old Fort Washington Road or something down the street? They're like, oh, you know this place? Oh yeah, I've seen such and such all the time. I'm just because I know the area and I know that you're not from the area and I know this area and I can tell you what. Hey, come on, man. Like that's just y'all. Nah, man.
They had no scouts on their trip either. They had nobody that knew the area other than Mateo, I guess, their
scout. Because he was the one that was piloting their boat, and Mateo looked like he had something going on with John Voight's kid. Sorry, this is what I meant to say earlier. Every time I think of John Voight, I keep thinking this man helped give birth to Angelina Jolie. That just bothers me so much.
She is half of him.
He might have been a good looking guy back in the day. Rhinestone Cowboy?
No. Okay, hold up. Look,
no. He was in
Who's her mama?
He was in the Dustin Hoffman joint.
Let's see. Early
John
Voight.
He might have been a good looking guy. I don't know. He was in the.
He looked like he was a handsome dude, probably in the 50s. Nope. 60s. Nope.
What's the famous Dustin Hoffman ugly movie?
Nah.
Jesus.
No. I don't know if I can show this picture to you all. I don't know if I can show pictures.
Go ahead. Throw it up there. Let's shittle over John Voight and his fucking. You can't do a podcast about Anaconda without talking about John Voight's appearance.
He looked all serial killer like.
Exactly.
Nigga, goddamn.
Right. The man's eyes have been sunken since birth. He looked like he came out the womb with the body count.
Oh, he does look like serial killer. You're right.
Yo, he don't. No, there's some people in his basement. Why didn't he play Ted Bundy?
Oh yeah, he does kind of.
He is a whole ass Ted Bundy.
But anyway, the point.
But you can see the resemblance when you look at young pictures of Angelina, and the dude.
Maybe the eyes. That's the most I would.
That's what I'm saying. The eyes, like when she's before she became a woman. You know, you can see the resemblance.
A woman.
Before she became a woman. Listen, before we just bury John Voight, you have to admit that his villain, albeit it's a little mustache twirling at times and very over the top, you got to admit that he's really committing the entire time.
So he's carrying the movie.
He is. I'm not even going to lie. He is carrying the movie, and we're not discussing like talent as far as like when I was shitting on him. But I will say this though, there was one thing. Now I point this to the writers and not John Voight. His character, yes, there was supposed to be something suspicious about him, but not like off the break. Like hell no. Like for me, I looked at him, I watched his movie, I was like hell no,
yeah,
right. There's you know the his character was supposed to be like. Yeah, this is suspicious, but you know, nothing really. But it's just so much stuff that he was just doing that was just blatantly like, yeah, this dude is just not right. Like, they tried to film some scene and it was something that was in the background. They were like, hey, this is a great establishing shot. So they get the Richie Rich's butler to do the talking scene as he's talking about, like, yes, oh, this is a great sight. And then, like John Voight, I don't care where he's from, what third world country he's trying to act like he's from, you know what a camera is. Right. Steps in front of the camera and was like, if you don't want to take my advice, then don't take my advice. Just drop me off. Like, it's a blessing to have him on the boat. Like, just drop me off. All right.
See you later, dude.
Right. You know, we had our mission. I'm sorry, it's your boat?
Well, at least he got Gary to side with him to try to persevere despite the carnage. He got that young Owen Wilson to take his side and say, nah, man, I think we should listen to him. I think we should do whatever he wants, you know?
So here's Owen Wilson's character made the most sense, though, when he did that. And a lot of people
is that real dynamite, though? Is that real dynamite?
Wow.
So here's the thing about Owen Wilson's character. I forgot his name, doesn't matter. Owen Wilson's character made sense in the real world. Look, this guy is creepy. This guy is, we don't trust him for anything. This guy is dangerous.
Get the fuck out of here.
Right. But here's the thing. We lost navigation. We lost our leader. The only thing we got going on is a local who happens to know exactly where things are. He may not be the best option, but right now he may not be our favorite option, but he is the best option right now.
You're saying that they're at that point they're just like, all right, he's all we got. So we're just
pretty much like realistically, if we're in an area where we're lost and there's a local, even if he's like the most scummiest of scum characters, which he was, if we just all if we all just agree to like hunt the snake that he's been looking for some god awful reason, then and we can all go home.
Never mind. Like, never mind his evil looking jeers. I see what you're saying. He's right. He still knows the jungle, quote unquote. He supposedly knows the jungle. You don't think Danny from L.A. could have gotten us out of there? You don't think he could have been?
Nah.
You got snakes out here this big?
This big. Like yo, this that was my line. That was my favorite line from the trailer.
It's really good. Like he's probably my second MVP in the movie just because you're right. He is playing himself in a lot of ways, but he's also just being there to be there, you know? Because this is like right after Friday.
It was post Friday, pre Are We There Yet?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, he wasn't doing a family movie.
Pre Ghost of Mars for all you John Carpenter fans out there, okay? Mm-hmm. And
hey, when are we going to do that movie?
Oh, dude, I say we got to, man. I fucking love that movie. I don't care how bad it is.
It's so good. Natasha Hendricks, whatever her name was. I can't remember her last name, but Natasha was her first name. And oh, my God.
My love always goes to that Pam Grier, no matter how old she got.
I had a crush on her since Species. Mm. Anyway.
We got to do Species.
Species was a good movie. That was
I don't know why we haven't done Species yet.
That was one of my first titties on film, like.
That was same time frame. Like
with that joint in the pool, mm-hmm. I was like,
I know exactly what scene you're talking about. Too.
It was like, yeah. I know what you mean. It was like full major theatrical run titties.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unless you count that Erica Liniak from Chasers, if you don't know, you googs. Tom Berenger's your boy. Anyway, you're right. This movie did spawn 4 sequels. So it's important to take a break from the actual movie real quick and actually talk about that for a second because. This movie had like maybe I'd have to look it up again, but it was a smaller for that time budget, but it made over 135 mil.
Yeah, it was 2004. It was Anaconda's Hunt for Blood. I think that was in theaters.
So the second one made it to theaters, or the
I believe the second.
Okay,
one
Okay, and the third and fourth were the direct to DVD or direct
yeah,
to VHS.
Yeah, they release. They debuted on Redbox.
Okay, on the Redbox.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yo, first of all, Anaconda 3 came out in 2008.
Mm.
Anaconda, the second one, or the one after that, came out in 2009. They didn't even wait.
No, they didn't.
They probably filmed it all in the same week.
Right. It was Anaconda 4, Anacondas, like they did the Aliens route. Instead of being a sequel, they just made it plural.
Okay.
It was Anaconda's Hunt for Blood. That was their Hunt for Blood Orchid. That was 2004. That had a pretty
had Baywatch guy, right? It had
Johnny Messner, whatever.
No, the main guy.
Hasselhoff?
Yeah, no,
Hasselhoff wasn't on that one.
He wasn't in the third one?
That's what I can see.
I'm pretty sure he was in the third one because I was looking him up before we recorded.
Oh, I'm gonna do the second one. The third one, oh, yeah, okay. I can see him being. Well, no, the guy kind of. No, he was in that one. Okay, so, but the third
Morris
one,
Morris Chestnut was in 2.
Yeah. Okay. So the second one was the one in theaters. The third one was just in 2008, which is called Anaconda 3 Offspring. That probably debuted.
Offspring.
Yeah, I mean that's not even how snakes work, but that's okay. And then Anacondas, which is the sequel to the third one, that came out in like 2009, and that was called Trail of Blood. I'm like, this is just
let it go,
just let it go, man.
This is like pre like your Sharknado thing, right? I mean, the Sharknado thing. Kinda...
Honestly,
I love Sharknado.
You know what? This is probably what spawned them to think about doing the sequel because 2008 and 2009 was probably around the Sharknado time.
Sharknado. Yeah. So you're like, well, maybe we can buy into some of this camp thing that where people are getting into like the camp movies again or at least renting them and like the legs on those kind of movies.
They couldn't copy that because Sharknado was so over the top. It was amazing.
Also, Sharknado was free because it was on the Sci-Fi channel.
Fucking right.
Also true. Was it the Sci-Fi original, the first one?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it was,
All of them. Oh, yeah, up to Sharknado 4.
They were all terrible, and I loved every moment.
And it had like the dude from 90210. That was the biggest selling point. He's like, hey, remember 90210? No? Cool. Yeah, it's this movie starring the blonde guy. Oh, yeah. One of the main guys? Nah, not hey, Perry. No.
You remember Tara Reid? She's there.
Tara Reid.
Like, you remember Luke Perry and Jason Priestley? Yeah. Okay. Remember the third guy? What? Yeah, him.
He's that guy.
He's pulling up. He's doing well.
He's doing well for himself.
Hey, people like a good creature movie. You know, at the end of the day, creature movies, you know, maybe it's a roll of the dice sometime, but 9 times out of 10, especially if you're younger and you have a group of friends over and you want to watch something just horrifically awful and just shit all over with a bunch of friends, that's always a good time, you know?
There's a reason why Mystery Science Theater was so popular.
Right.
Like, just put on a shitty movie and you and your friends are sitting there and we just rag on it.
Rag on it, you know?
The entire time. It's great.
It's a good time. It's a good fucking time.
Because there's always going to be that one friend who says something stupid and we're like, get out.
It was always that one friend. And you know what, though? I was always that friend who would say something very, like, very on brand and random. And it should be, like, the perfect timing for stuff. Like, I was known for, like, my great timing when it came to, like, those comments. And
right.
Anaconda was definitely, like, a movie that helped foster that talent, because me and my dad would just rag on this movie consistently. Because this is also, again, you got to understand the culture of the movies back then. CG wasn't beginning, but it was kind of getting its legs then,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like post-Jurassic Park,
mm-hmm.
You know, trying to... They were figuring it out.
But this is also pre-Matrix, before movies relied heavily on CG, so they also had to deal with what's called practical effects. So they had to have some guy in a rubber suit or puppeteering,
right.
Or muppeting, yeah. Or animatronics for the head.
So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Because the snake...
Yeah.
You can see shots of this where it looks pretty good. Like, uh-huh. I think it still holds up a little bit with some of the animatronic shots. And so even some of the CG isn't awful. Like, it's a little at parts. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I read that it costs like $100,000.
Yeah, they blew their budget on that.
Per shot. Like, per shot of CG.
The Anaconda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, just one single shot of CG on this goddamn snake. Or snakes, because there's more spoilers.
Because, like, you could tell the CG, like, because...
Oh, yeah.
It went CG once they panned the camera back.
Right, right.
Like... In the action scenes. Yeah.
Don't forget that panther scene when it squeezes the eyeball out that goddamn pit.
That's fucked up.
Is that panther focused, black? That camera panned. It was a black
racist
panther.
Ass.
And it panned to that fucking eyeball, dude. Like, it wanted, the director wanted us to know, like, no, hold on. That eyeball came out of
the
fucking...
This is the force that this thing it exerts.
Yeah, so this is also, like, y'all keep in mind, John Voight had explained what anacondas do to their prey, and they're like, they don't attack humans. I said, well, this one does, and then he explains,
this one does.
Yeah, he explains how anacondas squeeze and then eat, and that was kind of the point when we saw that panther. It's like, oh yeah, John Voight's character did mention that's what they do to the.
I mean, it's set up the crushing
like, embrace. I'm like, okay, we get it, John Boy. You like being choked, whatever. I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum.
Yeah, that's it. You know what I'm saying? I just need a safe word.
Right.
Just need a safe word.
What's the safe word? that's not it. It's
pineapple. Pineapple.
It's Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
I can't say it right. Well, then I guess I'm going to keep choking.
Keep going. It's Watch your sister.
I thought it was the Worcestershire.
Watch your sister.
Watch your sister. Do you think anybody knew that this movie would be like a commercial success when they made it? I mean, how could they, right?
I'm gonna let y'all speak.
Was this a write off?
That's what I'm trying to hint at. Even if the cast wasn't subpar, because they weren't, like you said, like, I mean, they were all coming from, most of them were coming from places, and you've seen them before, and it had enough star power for that. But also at the same time, like, on paper, the movie itself shouldn't have been like this guy. This guy also did he did The Specialist. He did what else did he do? He did some movie with Sandra Bullock too. It was like Fire in the Amazon or something like that, and he would just turn around these quick profits on these, like, quasi low budget. He made that sniper movie with Behringer. And that spawned like 5 sequels.
Yeah, it's actually called The Sniper.
Right.
No, but y'all gotta remember, though, this is before, like, blockbusters were like a dime a dozen. You know,
a blockbuster
film was specifically made to be like, okay, this movie is going to do big numbers.
It wasn't
like,
going to be...
Stallone in it.
It wasn't Independence
Day.
It's
going to be huge.
Right. And then there's also, like, at the time, they were like, all right, let's just make a movie. And Hollywood wasn't afraid to just make a movie because, you know, blockbusters weren't like, you know, the turn of the century, like diamond, you know, the status quo. So like a movie like Anaconda was like, all right, we can make this, you know, we'll do it for a couple of hundred. And then we'll probably like break even in the bank. And then that way I can keep my name alive, be good on a resume, and then move on to my next film.
Right.
You know, Hollywood wasn't afraid of doing average numbers then. And this movie did better than they expected. But I don't think they knew that this movie was... Like, I feel like the cast probably did it for fun. They're like, you know what? Let me go ahead and get this creature film out of my...
I ain't got shit to do this summer.
I ain't making no records right now. NWA broke up. You know, I'm beefing with Dre, so...
Yay,
I'm
yay!
Yeah, so, and you know, this, like I said, this is before, like, it's just so weird to, like, look back at that time frame of, like, a movie that was just made to be a movie.
That's what I'm saying.
And knowing that high expectations. You were so right. They could just make a movie. Because, one, the budgets weren't ridiculous. They're not putting out money like they're putting out for an average movie nowadays.
Well, now,
they're just like, look, we can just make this movie. The script seems kind of funny. What? Let's get a decent cast. Let's just make it. And let's test our new CGI, CG animation, all this stuff. I felt like it was all a test for the studio. Mm-hmm. Let's see how this works out. So the next big project, we can work out all the bugs.
They took more risk back then, I think. I think
they did.
I like nowadays, if you see this kind of movie, just, and again, I'm just talking about just on paper, like you don't know anything about it. You're just reading a synopsis of it. That kind of movie you'd see typically now on like Tubi.
Yeah, I'm saying Tubi, straight to Tubi.
Or Crackle, right. You know, and it wouldn't even be Christian Slater, it'd be Christian Slater's half brother.
This would be Shudder. This would be Shudder.
Or Shudder. Yeah, Shudder. You know what I'm saying? And like, and even some of that stuff, like, even some of the Shudder stuff and like Lionsgate before Lionsgate became Lionsgate would come out with these like surprising, like, oh, look at that, like an original, like little. $20-30 million movie, but
yeah,
but this shit,
this would not be on A24.
No. Although A24 is trying to do, I don't know if you read this, but A24 is trying to do like bigger mainstream movies. Like they're talking about expanding their portfolio, and some people are kind of miffed about it. They're like the more film snobs are like, yeah, I don't know, you know,
yeah, you know, I like it back in. It's kind of like the whole Metallica thing. It's like we like our niche,
right? Right. And speaking of niche, let's just talk about our favorite death scenes in this movie. Hit it up. Because there's quite a few interesting death scenes. I mean, everything from Gary
Wilson.
I was about to say Gary's death because you see his face go full Hollow Man in that snake.
Still in the snake. You know what I'm saying? The snake's underwater going by, and you see like Owen Wilson shaping his body as he's walking by, like, wow. As the snake just goes past the screen. Wow.
Wait, guys, no, is that Wes Anderson? Hold on.
Well, the fact that, I'm going to let y'all go ahead.
My favorite was probably the John Voight regurgitation.
Oh, come on, there it is. With that wink, when he winks.
And the regurgitation, yep.
Did he wink,
or was he just like using his one good eye to blink because like he had no other eye or eyelid? Like,
that was a wink, man. You could tell because he was
covered in stomach acid.
He was covered,
right, his eyelids were probably burned off.
I'm with you. I'm 100% in agreement. That eyelid was definitely singed off. He had the full Ghostbuster slime all over his body.
I feel so funky.
But he did that last minute jeer at her again. Which one last time, he was like,
Looking like Freddy Krueger.
Oh, yeah, dude,
that shit was my favorite.
That shit was so badass.
What if John Voight was Freddy Krueger? Anyway, sorry, that was a whole.
Hey, yeah, all right.
It would be a good Freddy Krueger,
especially now, John Voight.
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't even need makeup.
Oh, god damn.
I got a bomb.
Just get that nigga a sweater.
God damn.
I got a bombshell for y'all too. Okay. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Nick. Do your death because I got a bombshell for y'all.
Okay. I guess Richie Rich's butler would also be runner up for death scene, just because he got caught in midair. You know what I'm saying? When you get got like that, that's
snatched.
But
especially when you thought you had hope.
You thought you had hope. Let me dive out this waterfall, you know? I don't know. So, nothing? Nobody else? Okay, drop your bombshell.
Dude, I couldn't believe it. So the voice of the snake.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
Anaconda was Frank Welker.
Frank fucking Welker.
The voice of Megatron.
If you guys don't know,
hold on.
I was about to say,
was
this man got paid probably a couple of hundred just to go on the mic and go,
right,
and then just like, all right, cool.
So that, so basically,
give me my check.
So he's Vin Diesel's hero. He's like,
absolutely.
Oh. So what you're saying is, all I got to do is make some noises to get a check. Done.
I wonder if he made the noises.
I am snake.
I am snake.
I wonder if he made the noises when that snake not only got punctured, stabbed, lit on fire. Fucking.
He's listed as the snake voice actor.
I'm he's like, funny as shit.
If you don't know,
I just giggled when I saw that. Like, ha, Frank. Well, wait.
Oh no, no.
Familiar.
Hold on. Time
hold
out.
Hold up. I know that name. Click, click, click. Oh, Megatron. The fuck. And that's just pales in comparison. This man
and Scooby Doo.
Oh, this man got like Barney Rubble.
Bridge.
He was honestly, dude, that would be a whole other episode. We just talk about Frank Welker to like go through and just talk about all of his voices because this man has probably like 100,000, like probably like 300 voice credits.
Now. I'm going through his IMDb now.
Oh yeah, it's
fucking insane,
dude. Justice League, Hanna-Barbera stuff,
Land Before Time.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just. I mean, honestly, y'all, we don't want to go down this rabbit hole.
We'll be here. If you don't know, kids, you googs. But that was a penultimate. That probably was like the best death scene in this whole movie after John Voight's is that goddamn snake because they lit that motherfucker on fire. They blew that shit up in a fucking smokestack. Then it chased them on fire in the water.
That was also during the time period when the 90s where like deaths had to be elaborate.
Elaborate.
It had to be. Yeah.
It had to be. You had to build up to this death to be like, yeah, that's how you go. Like, because in typical movie monster fashion, right? Ice Cube's at the bottom, like stabbing his tail or whatever. And J-Lo has decided to like climb up the chimney shaft thing or whatever. And it's filled with gas, and he's lighting it on fire, and he lit a hose on fire to like build the suspense. Like, first of all, gas is in the air, so it's not like, oh, okay, the gas is only in this. Like,
leave it alone. Leave it alone.
It's gonna blow this whole shit up.
Leave it alone. Ice Cube should have been blown up too.
Leave it alone.
But they had to add that suspense, so like he had to light the hose on fire. So it's like, all right, cool. All of a sudden, you know, J-Lo at the seat couldn't open up the shit, you know, the door. She's like, oh my god, the door.
Hit the hinge.
Get the, he did.
Hit the door on the west side.
No. He really did. Back. No. Dude, no. He really did. He really did tell her. He really did tell her to push a door on the hinge. Go for it, dude.
You gotta hit the hinge.
He really told her how to use a door. Like she couldn't imagine telling somebody. No. Those hinges over. Hold on, Ice Cube. Tell her again, real quick.
You gotta hit the hinge.
Look, at this point, when your life is that much in danger, you are going to explain everything.
Oh, dude, I felt so bad for her. Because I was like,
the second she didn't hit the what?
She didn't hit the what?
You didn't hit the hinge.
That shit flew open.
The fuck off.
But that shit flew open as soon as he said that. And I was like, hold on, did he just tell her how to use like a door? Like a mechanism? The actual mechanism function of a door?
She might have pushed the wrong side.
I guess. I guess she was pushing.
It makes sense.
I guess she was pushing the hinge side and not the side that's adjacent to.
Yay, yay.
Yay, yay. Gotta hit the door on the west side.
No, but
dude.
But elaborate deaths back then, like that was like, cause you gotta keep in mind, like the snake is essentially like trapped in like the chimney or whatever it is, the silo. is trapped in there, and it's like the whole thing is now explosion on fire. So the entire 72-foot whatever,
yeah,
the Jurassic Anaconda is on fire.
It's on fire. It's not blown to chunks. It's just right. on fire. It's
on fire. Like it survived the explosion just to be on fire.
Thick skin,
right? And then, of course, in typical movie fashion, it ain't dead yet. It's still gonna get that one final like aha gasp of like thing before it just attacks you.
Also,
actually, if you've ever killed a snake, that does happen.
I don't know. I was about to say,
when
like,
you chop the head off, they still go nuts.
They still go nuts. But
you
here's
can
my
still
thing:
get bit by a copperhead after you chop his head off.
It's still a creature, though, and if it's on fire. It's still a creature.
Yeah, but then it fell in water, y'all.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like it fell in the water. And it didn't just try to cool off for a little bit. That motherfucker was so pissed off. That snake held a grudge. He was like, "Nah, I'm gonna come get your ass."
Now was it an oil fire?
I don't remember
where it can burn on water.
I don't remember
because maybe he was covered.
It did
in oil.
Have it did
there
have
was no fire. The water itself wasn't on fire though.
But they were covered in that monkey blood. Maybe some of that monkey blood got on them.
Monkey blood ain't flammable, bro.
According to Cerrone, it's magical, so you never know.
But it ain't flammable.
I put the monkey blood on you. And this
black manna.
And this
black
monkey
manna,
blood.
Like, tell him I set the ocean on fire. Tell him to call me back.
See, this is my problem with these movies. If we're already going to go this far, I always there's this part of me that like always wants to take it like even further, right? Like, how awesome would it be if they just looked over and it was fucking Patrick Swayze with a Reagan mask on, fucking with a hose, a gasoline hose, and the fire like right out of Point Break. It's like, holy shit.
Only just followed by Nick Cage with the mullet from Con Air.
And he's jumping through the fire.
Now, why couldn't you just put the snake down?
Give me the bunny.
Dude.
The snake stole his bunny, is what happened.
Dude, Nick Cage from Con Air fighting an anaconda? I want to see that fucking movie. But he has to play that character like now, like older Nick Cage with the hair and the white beater.
I'm trying to think, like, if Nick Cage was in Anaconda, whose character would he have been? They probably would have made him Mateo for some god awful reason.
Yeah, or he could speak
Spanish.
He could have been Cerrone. He probably would have given it that face off quality.
So John Voight Cerrone was also like on point because not only was he creepy, he also looked creepy. Like that scene where J-Lo was like putting her hair up and just massaging her own neck, and
he's watching her.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like the whole "oh, you caught me glaring." Like oh I'm sorry.
He's like this.
You full on like
you look like Sam Jackson and Django.
You know, I was like, you know, his other hand was busy. Right? He had a snarl.
He did.
Upwards.
He really did.
And then I love the fact that he also just didn't hide it either. She's all like, "Excuse you." He's like, "Your excuse."
No shame.
No shame. No shame at all.
I'm like, bitch, we are in the middle of the Amazon. Let me have this.
I'm trying to get that anaconda. Wait a minute, what? Yeah,
right.
I thought she's supposed to say that.
They didn't have the hub back then.
They didn't have
the hub.
He's
like, I'm trying to get up in your rainforest.
I'm trying to be like that sneaky fish with the spikes that climb up your urethra. The one that Rick Ashley talked about. And now he's French all of a sudden.
He went from Brazilian to French to he just didn't know what accent he was. I would speak
Portuguese.
Sac mon bleu.
Right.
Okay.
The leaper.
I am the leper. No, the what? The leper. The leaper? The leper. The leper?
Hold on, your limbs is falling off, nigga.
You got boils?
What, the leper?
You bringing you back from the dead?
Get away from this motherfucker.
Actually, hold on. Call back.
Call back.
We're going back to death scenes, though. I just can't believe I forgot about this one. Mm. I can't remember her name, but...
That chokehold.
Yeah.
The scary one?
I don't know.
He called her Little Bird. He's like, Little Bird.
Yeah. Owen Wilson's wife.
She tried to stab him.
Right. And then he decided to like do full on Black Widow like leg choke thing, right? Did a Sonya Blade thing,
mm-hmm.
But thing is,
the triangle hold.
My man was sitting down when she was trying to get him. That man had the willpower to jump up from a sitting position to wherever her head was to wrap his legs around her and then bring her back down.
That's a triangle choke, baby.
Right, my man did the flying triangle.
Got him.
Right. I mean, you got to imagine the athleticism to pull that off is actually pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty. I liked how he cajoled her by saying, Don't look in the eyes of the person you're going to kill. It will haunt you for the rest of your life. And so she looks away for a minute and goes, "Hiya, Sonya Blade!" And he got her in the fucking
lynch. Got him! Got him!
Got you, bitch!
Ah, got her, bitch. Got you, bitch.
Right.
So what...
You gotta hit him on the hinge!
Dare I say it, that's probably the rating for this movie. I was going to say, what would you rate this movie? But I think this movie is hit it on the hinge good.
Gotta hit the hinge.
Gotta hit the hinge good. Got to hit the hinge good. We're going to take that clip and we're just going to put it into the next year's theme song.
All right, but you know what? There's one thing we could say, that this whole movie is J-Lo's fault.
Is it?
Because the Anaconda wouldn't have wanted none if you ain't had buns, hon. So,
hey, that is a missed opportunity from, I don't know if it's from Sir Mix-a-Lot or from the or from the company. I want to say it's New Films. I'm guessing it's New Films.
I think that's right.
It looks like a New Line Cinema. It looks like a New Line Cinema.
It breathes that.
Yeah, it breathes New Line Cinema. I gotta look up who actually was the production company for that one, but anyway, I feel like it's a New Line. Okay, all right. I don't know if it's on the motion picture company or Sir Mix-a-Lot didn't jump on opportunity, but there could have been a remix, a remake, a callback or something. But he wasn't featured at any of the soundtrack.
You would think it'd be like post, like right when the credits hit, they would just jump into that.
My Anaconda don't. If they would have sent a bunch of flatbacks into the Amazon, this shit would have never happened.
I guarantee you.
He saw them buns and was like, the Anaconda was like,
Yeah, Ice Cube could have hooked him up. Hey, yo, I'm just saying, we got a movie. It's called Anaconda. I need you to clear that sample.
Yeah, he'd be like, look, let me.
Look, I'm shutting down the studio.
He could have talked to the Anaconda and be like, hey, look, let me hook you up with some of my girls that I know. They're good friends with my friend Eazy-E.
Nah, he would have hooked him up with a Players Club.
And then just took him out. I'm like, yeah, Eazy-E said, "You be clubbing? Great." Just getting snake AIDS and shit.
I would have liked a Fly Girls breakdown dance, like mid credits, like during the credits, like on the dock with a fire in the background and like snakes kind of coming up, you know. That would have been kind of nice, you know.
I'd have done it. You know?
Charles and Rosie Perez.
Rosie and J-Lo, two original Fly Girls, man.
Shit, man. Rosie Perez would have made this movie even better.
Shout out to
Oh my God, Billy. Billy.
No, Billy. I hope.
There's a snake out there?
I would have wanted her to get eaten first. I'm like, shut this bitch up.
And after we saw tantalizing scene.
I got to see something first. But then after that, take her out. So, seen, not heard.
I think we're good for this episode. I can't think of anything. I mean, honestly, we can keep going on about Anaconda. And,
no, I know it's a school night. I just want to say, I think this movie is hit the what?
Hit him on the hinge.
It's hit him on the hinge. Good. That's right, folks. We won't even break down our ratings.
Newest rating, and
because we know it's not Call to Work good. We definitely know it's not movie theater good, even though I saw it in the theater back
then.
Gotta
hit him on the hinge. Hit him on the hinge.
Gotta hit it on the hinge. Shit too. It really was a trail off, too. He does that trail off because he was yelling. He was yelling down at the bottom of the smokestack. So it really was a hinge. You know what I'm saying?
Because he had to yell up the stack, but he had to run back because he didn't want that snake to turn back.
Shuler, can you drop a beat under that when I send the audio? Drop a beat. Hit the hit.
Oh, I got something for it. Okay, yeah. Okay. Now I'll put a trap beat on that. Right. I got something for it.
We're going to get it going, baby.
But he also got, because it's got the West Coast vibe, he also got to hit that weird synthesized, like.
I'm going to pay homage.
So far, I've agreed, I guess, to Species, and it was another movie we said that
Species, and
it was another movie we mentioned.
Fuck.
It was two movies. I was like,
Tasha.
It was
Ghost of Mars.
Oh, Ghost of Mars. So it's Ghost of Mars and Species that I'm gonna show back on here for. So y'all here first or third or ninth, whatever. Right. I'm coming back for Species, and I'm coming back for Ghost of Mars when we do that movie. Am I like have I reached like that level of like repeated guess where it's like, you know, like, you know, like, was it kind of like how Alec Baldwin is like top tier or one of the top tier guests on Saturday Night Live? Have I reached that
you're definitely in the five. You're definitely in the five at this point. Yeah, I mean, this I feel must
like
be...
you're in like that Chris Rock level of I was about of SNL
guest for y'all. Okay.
Just, I mean, I think like, you're at that
pull up kind of guy. I'm just gonna pull up.
I think you're collaborator level at this point.
Okay, okay.
You know what I'm
saying?
Okay. We collabing, you know.
Hey man, that's what the Instagram says.
That's what I love about this shit. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, tell the Kamikazes, you know, about some Thirsty Thursdays and some Bear Claw, my man.
Okay. So, as you just mentioned, Thirsty Thursdays is one of my podcasts that I'm working on. Thirsty Thursdays Wrestling Podcast. So, Thirsty Thursdays in general, Thirsty Thursdays DMV is a show, drinking show that me and my boy Rick Stroh, we're heathen bartenders. We teach y'all how to make drinks either on a budget or just like what goes wrong with drinks. And sometimes we experiment and have some fun. A lot of times,
how to impress bitches.
Hey man. Well, I mean, sometimes you want to impress bitches. Sometimes you just want to like, you just want to get drunk. You want to get tore up. You also want to do it responsibly. You know, at our age, and you know, sometimes we're not 20 something. We don't have cast iron stomachs like we used to. So sometimes you want to drink something that actually tastes good. We do that for y'all. And we show y'all, hey, this is a good mix. This isn't a good mix. Sometimes you got to remember drinking Incredible Hulks when you were 20 was great. Incredible Hulks when you're in your 40s is not great.
Not a good idea.
Right. So we got Thirsty Thursdays, which is on YouTube. Look it up. Thirsty Thursdays DMV. We got Thirsty Thursdays Wrestling Podcast, Spotify, Apple Music, Samsung Music, Google Play. Like, look that up. It's me and him. We're talking about wrestling.
Wrestling.
You know, not just WWE, just wrestling in general. We're fans of wrestling in general. As he mentioned before, when you mentioned the Bear Claw, that is my production page, Bear Claw's Tavern. Hashtag Camism, if you want to just look for me specifically, just doing nerd stuff. Like, I talk about characters of the week. I got long format stuff coming. You know, I got like certain analysis where I just talk about, I do breakdowns of things like why aren't the Deftones listed as legends? You know, stuff like that, you know. So. It's, you know, things that go in my head, like, or put some respect on Tim Drake's name, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Look, because
smoke on this show.
Because listen.
I knew exactly what I was doing.
Look, if y'all don't know, and you can go back to the archives, I might have offended our guest here with some little side banter, some little shade I was throwing towards my man, Tim Drake, which in my only defense, I'm not just coming with it with current events. I'm just saying, I've been saying this like for as long as I can remember, you know, and I'm just keeping true to my heart, baby. I'm just keeping true to my heart.
I got you.
You never fucked with Tim Drake.
It's true.
You like the OG Robin. That means you're literally a dick rider. I get it. I get it.
You're goddamn right.
What? But again, I just said, like, y'all got to put some respect on Tim Drake's name. And okay, not just you, right, but DC Comics in general need to put some respect on Tim Drake's name.
Don't waste my motherfucking time!
No, but seriously, thanks for coming on, Mr. Petty. Seriously. It's honor and a pleasure.
Hey, and, man, it was good seeing you again, brother.
Hey, man, next time you just need a guest, just, you know, just hit him on the hinge!
Hit him on the hinge! And remember, whatever we said on this show, don't take it seriously. It is just fiction, except for that ass. And you know which one I'm talking about.
My anaconda don't. My anaconda don't. My anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun.
Boy, toy named Troy used to live in Detroit. Big soap, stealing money, he was getting some coins. Was in shootouts with the law, but he lived in a palace. Both bought me Alexander McQueen, he was keeping me stylish. Now that's real, real, real. Gun in my purse, bitch, I can't. Yeah.